Welcome back for the Ultimate Playlist podcast full of choice tracks. I'm Dietrich.
I'm Damon.
Good evening. I'm Tosh.
That sounded very sophisticated.
Thank you.
Is this Masterpiece Theater or is it yes. Twitch track?
Yes, it is. We are going across the pond. Over there yonder. Yeah. Welcome back to the Ultimate Players Podcast full of choice tracks. Again, my name is Dietrich. Again, we have Taj and we have Damian with you. And we are a music podcast that likes to talk about music, but we do it in a couple of segments. First segment would be talking about side A, like a record, flip it over. On side A, you have our topic where we actually bring up a particular topic and then we have our songs that we compare to the topic and see how everybody likes those songs. Maybe they do, maybe they don't. It's all up in the open. And then we flip it over to side B, where we actually have an album that everybody chooses, or excuse me, one person chose for homework and everybody had to listen to when we went for there. And in this situation, we're not following any of those rules. We are actually coming with a special segment for a particular music festival that is near and dear to all of our Austinite heart. For those who don't know, back in the day when Austin was up and coming, there was a particular time called, what was it, Ocean Fest? Anybody ever go to Ocean
Fest? I'm not familiar with it, but yeah, I know there was some stuff that I've never heard of.
Aquafest, that's what it was called.
Okay. Yes.
Aquafest. And Aquafest was a carnival slash musical, not musical, but a music setting where people would come in and perform and you can get a pendant on your chest. And everybody would collect those pennies because those pennies were so cool and you had Aquafest all over the place. Well, then fast forward a little bit and then you have a particular, festival in order to, showcase local artists. That showcase was pronounced South by Southwest. When that South by Southwest came into town, it was literally started out for strictly local artists who were trying to get on the scene, trying to get seen in order to get record deals, in order to get possible promotion deals, maybe some modeling deals out of the situation, whatever the case support may be. And different venues around, Sixth Street area, they would pop up and they would have showcases for these particular local artists. Fast forward a little bit more, Southwest becomes a bit bigger situation. And now you have actual record labels and industry artists that are coming through and performing at South by Southwest. Now, fast forward to actual present day, you have media artists, you have film and festival situations that are going on. You have the artistry that is still being showcased, but it's more so the predominantly known artists that are being seen across the valley. Now, you still have international artists that come through the whole nine in order to take up all these venues that are showcasing different types of music and different genres of music going around. But for the most part, it is for now the established artists that are coming through and individuals are coming down in order to see those artists in their particular showcase and then they're like, get to meet them, get to shake hands, get to see them walking around. The whole city is lit up with excitement for South by Southwest when it comes down because it's now a whole showcase that lasts out a week and a half, almost 2 weeks in the situation. So with that being said, we decided to dedicate this particular segment to South by South artists, South by Southwest artists that we have seen or heard of that have performed at different venues during different times. For me, going into the situation, it's been a little bit difficult because I loved South by Southwest when it was literally about the particular local artist. That was my time frame that I actually loved it. It was during between 2007 and 2016. Those were my favorite times dealing with South by Southwest. Since then, you know, things have kind of changed out. I'm older, so I'm not going to particularly sit up here and try to hang out with 20-year-olds. But at the same time, I do represent and I do respect the music that is out here today, whether it be an artist that's already signed and trying to get a little more showcase, or whether it be the artist that's not signed and they happen to be in a particular venue where they paid to get on, or even the ones that are on the non-sanctioned South by Southwest venues. You definitely have to respect it all because it's all around the town. And if you talk about anything about music, with Austin being considered the live music capital of the world, why not would you have a dedicated festival that's coming down that allows people to come through and check out their favorite artists, right? So in my particular situation, the last time that I was there on a different stage, there was times I had different workings with South by Southwest. I've actually performed at South by Southwest. I've actually been a DJ at South by Southwest. I've been a stagehand and I've been a driver for South by Southwest. So I've pretty much run the gambit of particular jobs and things that you could do outside of selling beer that you could do with South by Southwest. And in this particular situation, this was one of the last times that I was completely engulfed into the phenomenon, right? So take it back to a time frame where it's 2016. It's a particular artist that came from the UK. She is mesmerizing with the lyrics. She definitely has good looks, but for the most part, she holds her own as an MC. And at this particular show, she actually came through and blazed the crowd, right? She had lyricism, she had delivery, she had pitch, she had tone, and she wowed the crowd with everything that she was doing. Now, a year later, I'm looking at her and I'm like, why does she look familiar? Well, she looks familiar because I'm actually watching her on a particular TV show that was showcased on Netflix. That particular show was called Top Boy. And in Top Boy, she played a particular dealer's girlfriend, slash baby mama, who was trying to maneuver through his lifestyle while still trying to maintain her own, as she owned a particular nail shop in the particular area that they're living in. So for her going into that role and actually playing that role into all the shows of Top Boy going through and staying as a prominent cast member and also being in a couple of movies and a couple of other shows as well. She's definitely become real wilded. And if you don't know who I'm talking about Little Sim. Little Sims has definitely made her name in the artistry realm, whether it be an actress or whether it be an actual art performer, in a sense of she does actually do art as well, but she's as known as an incredible MC on the mic. This particular segment that she performed a 20-minute set, and there was one song that she performed that stood out. It literally hit me in my chest because she was talking about her life journey going through being a musician. And everything that she's accomplished as a musician, but also all of her setbacks in between. And this particular song, really did stand out in my heart. And when we brought up a particular segment, I said, there's no way that I could do this particular segment without bringing up her song. The song that she performed was called Backseat. Daddy probably roll for me an athlete. Man, that nigga move like a taxi. All my life in the backseat. You talk about life, is it that sweet? All these staring at me. And it's really the song, one of the songs that got her on the map of the U.S. Tidal wave come through. Because, you know, there's a difference between artists and U.K. artists. Because U.K. artists don't necessarily pop off in the U.S. like you would think they would. But in this particular situation, this actually garnered her a lot of prestige in the hip-hop arena, as well as gave her a spotlight in order to showcase her vulnerability. Within her raps, within her style, within her delivery. And I still love her on Top Boy, but I know her more as being the actual rap artist and MC all the time. And it's a difference between being a rapper and an MC, and she definitely crossed that lane over to MC. So, fellas, I know I've been talking for a while here, but let me let y'all go ahead and jump in. What do y'all think about Little Sims Backseat?
I really liked it. I kind of gathered that she was UK. There was something about the rhythm that she hit with. But yeah, it's really good. Like you said, really good. It was that storytelling, you know, describing her life, explaining kind of what her life was like, just being in the backseat of the car. And like, it was, the imagery was all there and I enjoyed it. I didn't know she was also an actress. So I haven't seen Top Boy. So, I like this song a lot. And so has she come back, like done any albums, even though while she's acting, or has she kind of set that whole thing aside? Or?
Oh, no, she's still rapping. She's still okay. Rapping. I believe she released the album in 2023. This particular album was definitely one of those that was critically acclaimed, mainly because it was something that kind of came out of nowhere. And it was Stillness and Wonderland. So she took that and accompanied that with a comic book kind of theme to the situation. And that release of that album really put her on the map as far as being an actual artist.
Okay. But yeah, this song was really good. And I kind of, I should have gone the rabbit hole to check out some other stuff she did. I did watch, there wasn't necessarily a music video. It was her rapping in a sound studio to this song with the backtrack. And like, that was really cool. And I did kind of glance through the other videos on YouTube that she had. But yeah, so I was like, okay. So I knew she did some other songs, but yeah, she's her stance, you know, her rhymes on point for sure. So
nice.
Yeah. So I guess I should ask, just for the point of asking, what makes you think she's more MC than like rapper? I mean, like, is it that she can hype up the room? Because I thought MC was kind of the person, you know, spinning the tables, or the person, you know, on the sideline going, yeah, yeah, right, throw those hands up. You know, I thought that's the MC. Like, that's the person.
No. Okay, let me correct you right there. So you have different layers when it comes to a rap performance.
Okay.
You have the DJ, you have the hype man, and then you have the MC, who is the main artist attraction. The MC is the master of ceremonies. They're the main one that is rapping. So in this situation, the MC also stands for a separate situation, because in the rap community, you have rappers who are literally about the glitz, the glamour, the fame, and the whole nine. And then you have MCs that bring up and big up the culture.
Okay.
She's one of those that's an MC, because not only does she have lyrical content, not only does she have substance in her rhyme, but she actually bigs up the culture in the process of doing so. That's what makes her an MC versus just a regular rapper.
Okay, gotcha. All right, that makes sense.
Cool.
Yeah, so this is definitely something that would remind me of what I would hear at South by Southwest as part of the British invasion. So they have like a British invasion, like I guess like set. So there's like a bunch of artists that might play at one venue or a couple different venues. This year they had Australia House. They had a bunch of different. There's like artists that might come from Ireland. You know, there's artists that are Asian. So there's like a lot of different, like South by Southwest likes to do that. And I don't know if that's a newer thing. So what year did you see her play at South by, or is she just an artist that you like?
No, I actually saw her play 2017. I was mistaken. I thought it was
17. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was 2017.
Yeah, they probably weren't doing that. Perform. Yeah, they might have been. So she might have had so here's what South by likes to do as well. And that's what a lot of people will call it. It's South by instead of just South by Southwest. But it's like, I mean, people fly in from all over the world for this. So it's like very cultural, right? And it's not just, like you said, Dietrich, it's also film. It's interactive, which is like the IT kind of like innovative portion, which is a lot of like panels, and they'll have discussions, and then they'll have cool gadgets that are featured, which is what brings a huge draw. But ultimately, everybody wants to hear music. So yes. I think what they form now is like when you go to South by, you can actually... like you can get a badge. There's a tiered wristband and then badge. Badges are probably like when it first started, like you were talking about back in the day, South by Southwest wasn't really that expensive. Like you could, I think there might not have been a badge system. I think it was a wristband only. So everybody can kind of just go to everything. There wasn't really like, the presence that they have now where they're at the convention center. I think that's like a newer thing too.
Yes.
They've kind of developed the convention center for the city based on the fact that they have stuff like South by Southwest. So South by Southwest, it's been around so long now, and it went through some tough times, and that was mainly because of COVID. They actually laid off half of their staff. So like you had this period where we didn't know if we were going to have another South by. Artists in general, I think we talked about this on the podcast, didn't know if they were going to be going to, you know, be able to play concerts again, or what that would look like. So a lot of stuff was happening online. It was really weird. South by Southwest moved to a digital format, so you could see a lot of stuff online. So they kind of they adapted to a pandemic for a few years or a couple of years. And now they have more of an option where you can see like ACL does this too. This is another Austin City Limits we've talked about in the podcast. Local Austin festival that we've all been to, Taj, I know you've gone to a lot of times.
Right.
They do like a simulcast. So you can see the bands and all that. So I think South by is doing that more so now with some of their stage stuff that's official. Mm-hmm. So you have official and then you have unofficial South by. Yes. And it used to be, to your point, Dietrich, it used to be so much more fun. You have local artists, you have smaller artists, even some big artists playing at random places. You have like, you have a lot of promoters that are creating these like houses, they call, for like the week or two that South by is happening, right? And like Spotify had Spotify House. So you go to that and you could sign up on these like lists, right? So you like, you have to basically like sign up, was it register or you just have to like get like VIP or whatever, not VIP, but like you just get on the list so you can actually go to the show. And then they close out after a certain amount of people. So I think it's like, one of those things where it's, I don't know, it's, there's a lot of like ordinances that are counting how many people are, what is it? A fire hazard?
Yeah. So it's like a fire hazard depending capacity. On the venue that you go to. Yes.
At capacity. So a lot of times you go to a show, even if you have a badge now, which you've paid over $1,000 for, maybe $1,500. You might go to a show that's at capacity. You can't get in. You can't get in to see this band that you've been waiting to see. And exactly. It's because you've been trying to see 20 bands at in 2 hours. You got to pick one, basically. So like there's like a method to the madness. And I think that like an artist, you know, that might not be as well known playing earlier in the day, mm-hmm. or playing a venue where you have to have a wristband or a badge to get into. That's going to be A, it's going to be more special because there's not a lot of people there. Not everybody can get in. You're in, you're lucky to get in. So you feel like you're having a better experience. Mm-hmm. And like we've had an SNL episode, the SNL episode, it was almost like, for me, SNL shows, like the music portion of Saturday Night Live, it's just that much more special because you can tell it's a limited audience. Mm-hmm. This is like the artist has been waiting forever to get to that scene, right?
Right.
South by Southwest is kind of the same thing. Like we have some limited audiences for these venues to a festival that you've been waiting years to get into. Because you have to audition for this too. You have to apply for it.
Yes.
So as an artist, you have to apply. And you're like in past years, you're applying with like artists that are winning, you know, they're winning like Grammys and stuff. So like you're kind of like shit in your pants when you get into a show. And I think I've talked about South by a lot. We've talked about it before with a lot of our episodes because that's kind of in our city and that's what drew me to the city in the first place. I moved here in the 90s and I watched things develop over the last 25 years like crazy.
Yes.
And this festival is one of those things. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Shout out to the festival itself and just want to get in two quick players. One, the festival is so big that in 1995, Toronto started doing their own version of it called North by Northeast, and it's still going on today. Instead of doing it in March like we do, they do it in June. So if you get a chance to check out both in 1 year, you have accomplished something, my friend, because it's awesome. And the second thing I want to chime in on, yes, there are wristbands that you have to pay in order to see some of the major artists, but there are also free shows going on around the whole damn city that you can get into that you can experience South by without necessarily having to be behind the curtain or behind the band. So you can literally come down and just experience Sixth Street, experience all these other places and in and about the city, just to experience the city itself. And it's such a lively time that goes on during this time. So if you have a chance, you want to get down to Austin just to see what it's about, come on down. It's not like North Dakota or South Dakota when you got snow up there and all that other crazy shit. You can actually come down and experience a good time. The weather is nice. It's not going to blaze you out like you other places. And it's a good time to be. So come on down.
And if I'm right, like back in the day in like early social media, like there'd be secret shows, right? Like that you would find out about like an hour before.
Secret shows. Yes.
Okay.
There's still secret shows.
Okay.
Kanye performed a secret show, or Ye, or whatever you want to call himself now. He did a secret show. Jay-Z did a secret show. Prince did a secret show. Like
Green Day did one.
Green Day did one. Like it's
my ass was at that show. And it, so the Green Day Show, so that was like, that was their pseudonym, Foxborough Hot Tubs. Nobody knew who they were. And then my wife, Robin, she had seen some, like, I don't know if it was like on like Twitter or something, but somebody was talking about like, oh, Green Day's here as Foxborough Hot Tubs. And nobody knew what the hell they were talking about. Exactly. She happened to see it as we were outside the venue, which is Brazos Hall downtown. And we were like, shit, we're outside of it. So we tried, there's no line. So we had wristbands, and that's secondary to a badge. But if you get there early enough, you're fine. Right. Yeah. So we got in line, we got in right away. Lo and behold, fucking Green Day was in our face, you know, and I think I mentioned this before, but yeah, so Green Day is like four members, I think. One of the members' son came out and his band opened, and then it was Green Day, and that was just like the Foxborough Hot Tubs, whatever, but it was still Green Day. And so he's like, they got confetti guns, all kinds of shit. It was crazy. There was like 150 people, and that was it. It was capacity at that. So that was one of those like intimate shows that, like, yeah, you're as a fan, I felt like grateful. They weren't grateful probably as much as we were, because to them it was just another day, you know.
Right.
I think, although I, you know, Billy Joe, I think, you know, it was his son that was playing. I think that he's grateful as an artist, because I've heard him in interviews. So like, no matter where he's at, like, he definitely appreciates the scene. I know there was a lot of drinking at one point, but you know, what the fuck, whatever. I would be too. One of my favorite bands. Yeah. And that was definitely an experience. Now here's the thing. I don't even know if I had, maybe I had come across Little Sims. I definitely like her song. I think that like a lot of it, it sounds like she's like the MC, like, yes. I could hear that in this song. And she's kind of like talking about like her personal experiences and, you know, with like interactions and just like kind of like coming up. So that's what I got out of it. So I definitely think that would have been a great show to see. And here's the thing, no matter what you're going to, if you're going to the right show, you're going to see a great fucking show. Yes. It's the atmosphere, the lighting, everything is like, it's tuned up. And so you go to these day shows, if you're going for free, you're still going to have a good time. You're not going to get the same experience as if you bought a wristband. Now, if you're local to Austin, you probably already know this, then you can get a discount. So me as a student, I can get a discount. There's like tons of things you could do. Although if you wait, then it gets more expensive, like any festival, then it's crazy. A lot of people get badges through work. So you're lucky if you do. Congratulations. Have fun. It's just a week of drinking, music, panels, you know. I mean, I've worked panel rooms before with Southwest Southwest. I got to see like 30 Seconds to Mars come up to me in a IT panel. They were just there hanging out. And I'm like, what the fuck? I didn't know what to do. I was like, okay, yeah. I kept my cool, but like, you know, big fan of their music, and now they're blowing up. Now they're doing like a whole tour again. And, you know, they've been around for a while, but this was back in the day. And, you know, other bands, like I saw Billy Corgan in a green room just doing interviews. I mean, there's some crazy shit at South By. So I'm kind of desensitized now. I do a lot of different festivals and I work big panel rooms and I see famous people all the time. So for me, it's kind of, it's just another day.
Yeah, it's second nature.
But it's definitely a cool experience. And to be a part of something, yeah, that's a completely different thing. Like to be actually on the stage, or, you know, to be with the band doing something. That's a completely different thing, a different world. But that's what South By brings. But yeah, I like this artist, and I think that was a good pick, man.
Yeah, I got to be with Wu-Tang, Redman, Method Man. Like, it's nothing to do. Like, it's definitely a fun time to be around the city, especially when you got so many artists that are coming into it. Got to be Russell Crowe's personal driver going around the city, and that shit is fun as hell. So it's like, you could experience a lot just being a part of South By, but actually being engulfed in everything that's going on now, especially when you have all these different events and venues and social media involved and all that. Like, it does make a difference in who's coming through and how they're coming through. So definitely check that out. Going on to the next person, Taj.
Yeah.
Tell me about your South by pick.
Well, I've never been to South by Southwest. Not
shame on you. Shame. Shame.
I went to ACL a lot, and I don't know.
Doubts of lightning. Block yourself.
No. He gets a couple points, man. He went to ACL.
Yeah.
He went to ACL.
It's not the same thing.
Right. ACL is stationary. It's cool. You got all in one spot. South by, you get to have a scavenger hunt and run around and see different stuff. So
ACL is a large version of Blues on the Green. Blues on the Green is a local free thing that you can do. It's very cool. Part of it's VIP, whatever. But yeah, like the city has a lot to offer as far as that. The summertime, it's fucking hot as fuck. And you hate it. You want to just leave as soon as you can. But that's when all the shit's happening for some reason. So other than South by, anyway. So.
I'll give you points for that. You don't have to flog yourself, but you still get down to like it.
Right. That being said, I have seen plenty of shows downtown. I think I did walk. The thing was, like, I didn't have anybody to show me the ropes on South by Southwest. That's why. So
you do need that. You need a guide at least once. You know, and then you kind of navigate on your own. Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah. Because I think I went downtown when it was happening, like the first or second year I was there. And I was like, okay, how is this different than normal 6th Street?
So if you get caught on 6th Street, then you're not even experiencing it. So that's like part of the problem. Some of it might be on 6th Street still, but a lot of it's not on 6th Street anymore. It's in hotels. It's in weird various places around town. 6th Street is where everybody goes that probably doesn't even have a wristband. They're just there because they want to be a part of something that's going on now. It's fun. And there's other things where people are trying to come up and do their thing on the street, whatever. But 6th Street, some of it's there for sure. But that's
Fifth, Sixth, Rainy Street, 11th, 12th. Go down the Manor Road. They have some things going on. Go back to West or South.
South Congress.
South Congress is definitely popping.
And that's along the
way. So it's expanded out. Definitely expanded out. Riverside, the whole nine. It's expanded out. So it's not just being in one particular area like it was before. It's South by is all over the place now.
Right. Okay. Yeah. And that's why I just never went back to try it. I should have asked somebody. But once I found ACL, I was like, all right, this will be my musical jam, other than going to a couple live shows here and there. So, I should have, tried to experience it again. But that being said, I had homework to do. So I did homework. So what I did was I listened to some playlists for artists that were at South by Southwest. I did pick two artists solely based off of the song. One of them was a song that was released last year. The artist was at South by Southwest this year. This song I picked, okay, so the artist I picked is Jiraiya, and the song I picked is Risk, Risk, Risk. I can take another day. I like the song a lot. It has some Latin beats to it. The music is really fast. One of the main reasons why I picked this, and it's going to seem weird, I'm on a bit of an anime kick. I've been watching some anime shows. This song, I don't know what it is. It sounds just like an anime opening track. Like, I could totally see this song on some crazy anime opening track. So, Jiraiya is from Brooklyn. Crazy enough, I just looked up that he does 2D animation. So he's a musician, does 2D animation. He's done a couple of albums, but this song has total, it's weird. It's to me, it feels international, but does have that Latin spice in there. It feels like he's doing a Congo there's some different things in there, I basically picked it because I liked it a lot. But what did you guys think of Risk, Risk, Risk?
Dude, this shit is like on acid. Like, Like the beat, the flow, the tempo, like it is not a song to be played with, and it's definitely not a song to be played by the light of heart. Like, he definitely is flowing on top of it, but for the most part, it's nonstop in your face, cardiac type situations. Like if you were literally bored sitting in a bar somewhere and this particular song came up, it would liven up the whole damn spot. Like, that's how I felt about it. And it was pure energy, pure Red Bull rushing through the veins. And, you know, then you mix it with some vodka and you're having a good fucking night. That's how I'm going to put it.
Right.
Outside of that, you know, it's, I don't know if I would listen to it 25 times, but I've definitely listened to it 3-4 times in a row when I got a drink in it. So yeah, for sure. You hit the nail on the head with that one. I would have loved to have seen his live performance, because just by the album cover and the song itself, this dude is like a ball of steroid energy.
Right.
And I can only imagine what the actual showcase looks like. So good job, man. Good pick. I'm mad at it.
And he has a music video for it too. And it's like, it is bonkers. Like, high energy. But yeah. But Dietrich, as the resident anime watcher, what do you think? Could this work for an anime opening track?
Oh, for sure. Hell yeah. This would have been great for Dora Eudora. Like, this would have been right up the aspects of being in anime. And you play this as an opening track, people are going to love that shit automatically, because it's right. Just that infectious. So yeah, you hit the nail on the head. It's got to be something that's up-tempo. It's got to be something that's like got a whole lot of action-packed sequences in it. And, you know, somebody's going to die, but you don't know who or anybody. That's how right. I feel.
Exactly. So what do you think, Damon?
So South by Southwest, like I said, it's all about the live music. I love live shows. I'm kind of the person on the show here, the podcast that talks about the shows I've gone to. I just, you know, I don't know that you guys have seen live music too, but it's just near and dear to me. I think I exist because I can do stuff like this.
Right.
You know, growing up, like, I just always went to music, but never like it was in Austin. And Austin, it just, you know, presented itself as a place for me to find new cool things to do. And if you try to be cool in a small town and it just didn't work, you know, you come to a place like Austin. And there's a lot of sister cities to Austin that, you know, have the same thing, you know. I think even where Taj lives, there might be one venue where you can hear some live music.
There is.
That you really like, right? Didn't you say there's a place you really like over there?
Well, there's it's like a record store, and they do live music down in the basement. They do live cool stuff down there.
I love that shit. That's like,
and the sad thing is when I the first summer when I was here, pre-COVID, there was a jazz fest that was really good that went for 3 days.
Yeah.
But post-COVID, it shut down and they haven't restarted it yet. And so that was the one thing I kind of missed, because I was like, oh, there's live, you know, like kind of like a Blues on the Green. There's live music, right? And so they've moved the venue, and they do have a venue off the river, off of our river, the Sioux Falls River, where they do live music. But, you know, it's nowhere close to, you know, Blues on the Green or anything like that. So, yeah.
And, you know, and that's fine, too. I mean, I've lived in areas in upstate New York, and there were music festivals and stuff like that. But it just didn't touch Austin. You have people flying in from the whole entire world to come to like see music here. I think it was, I don't know who started it, but they started calling Austin the live music capital of the world. So this is a place where people are, their expectations are high. I worked at Whole Foods Market for a long time, and a lot of the people I worked with, they had that job because they were playing in a band that night, almost every night. So their other job was their music. The first job was the music. The second job was working at Whole Foods or whatever, you know. That's just the life. That was back when I was in my 20s, and I'm sure everybody that I was working with was close to the same age. Believe it or not, Austin was kind of a small town. small city. The mentality or the vibe was smaller. Even when it's kind of weird, when I moved here in the 90s, late 90s, Alamo Drafthouse just became a thing. That's a huge international movie theater now. I think they're international. I know they're definitely like across the country. But stuff like that was just coming up, and people were still saying, like, oh, this used to be a small town. Like, yeah, dude, it's still it's a small town. Then we started getting crazy shit like Walmarts and Targets all over the place, and, you know, just big stuff, like big. Now there's big buildings everywhere. You can't see the sky.
No.
Maybe that changes things. I don't know. But yeah, I like your pick. I think that like the vibe from like the music is sort of like go-go bordello. Mm. You know, it's kind of like that, like fast paced. Like I think I heard some horns and stuff in there. Like there was just like really good music going on, really good music composition. It's chaotic, but it's great. And it's not easy to do that. And for a band like this, I'm sure they were playing like, I don't know what venue they were playing at. I wish I was at the show. Risk, Risk, Risk would have been a great song to hear. I think that would have been a really good show. But that's what I love about South by Southwest. That's my memory of it. This year wasn't the same for me. I didn't have access to it. I didn't have official access. But in the past, yeah, Jiraiya would have been a great band to see. I love the song. That's a good pick.
Oh, thank you.
Cool. So, Damon, here is what your South by Southwest first pick.
My first pick is based on a band that I've seen in the past. One year I missed them in 2012 because I wasn't able to get into the show. And I think that I even had a badge that year, but it was like the line was crazy. So I have had badge access, and badge access compared to no badge access is a different fucking world. So yeah, is it fun going to South By? If you know somebody without access, you could probably get into some stuff, but this is just like, yeah, it's a different world. It's like night and day. So Ghostland Observatory, like I said, in 2012, I didn't get to see them because it was like a packed line. I think we might have been at something else. We probably hopped around, you know, a couple times. This is where we started learning a lesson. It's easy to do with a badge because you walk into a place where there's a line of 200-300 people with wristbands, and they're just like tired as fuck, but they want to see their favorite artist, right? An example for me would be Mike Snow show that we went to. And I barely knew who Mike Snow was. He's a really good DJ. He's pretty famous. And I was able to bypass a line of like probably 200 people with wristbands, and they just looked at us like, what the fuck? Some people were booing us. We got booed. But my badge and my wife's badge said that we can get in. So we got in, and they had promotional food and all that shit and drinks. You're getting free drinks. You're getting free food. You do not have to have access to get free drinks and free food. You just have to know what the fuck you're doing, and you have to put the time into it. It's a real big adventure. I mean, there's a lot of things to South by Southwest, but, this year I went to, I think it was a promotional, I want to say it was a promotional thing, and it was Deering Interactive. So Interactive can have music at it, and it's kind of more rare, but sometimes you get like a big artist. So out of nowhere, I guess like it was on forums or whatever. Maybe it was, I don't know if it was X or formerly Twitter, something like that. Ghostland Observatory was playing at, a smaller venue, which I think for this purpose, it was like a show they were doing called the Hook'em House, but it was like all UT oriented stuff, but it was Antone. So Antone's is like where a lot of big bands play. It's pretty well known in Austin. And they did play this song. They played a lot of different songs, but my favorite album, Robotic Majestic, from Ghostland, the song is No Place For Me. And I think that, you know, that was definitely awesome to hear in this venue. There were I think they gave you like a wristband and you get a free drink, and then I was just buying drinks. So this show for sure, without access, was my favorite thing to do. Luckily I had friends, you know, my wife and my friends were in line early, and so I got to kind of jump in line with them. But they were like the first people in line that didn't have access. So it was like after they let badge people in, then they start with that one. And they had press, of course. There was a lot of press at the show. But blew my mind. But what do you guys think about Ghostland Observatory? And what do you think of No Place for Me?
So I liked it a lot. I can't remember if I've heard Ghostland Observatory before or not. But, you know, it's a nice blend of, electronica and, rock for sure. It's a good song. I'm trying to think what I would compare it to or whatnot, but, it's enjoyable for sure. So
yeah. You've heard them on the radio for sure. They've had a lot of radio hits.
Okay.
Probably at least one off of this album, but I don't know if this is like their biggest radio hit album, but around 2012, this was like, this would have been maybe even earlier than that, like 2010, I think. I don't know the year this came out. I don't know why. I think it was 2010.
Gotcha.
Actually. But, like a lot of bands that we've had an episode about that. I think that this definitely would be similar to some of their hits, but like their sound is pretty unique,
right?
But, you know, to electronica, all that. But you have like one of the, you know, the lead singer, he's just on a mic, and then the other dude is on a keyboard. He's doing right. All the sound shit, you know. But they're fucking awesome, man.
I mean, it's no Fatboy Slim or Moby, but yeah, no.
And you know what? In their own right, they're A earlier, but they also are like, they're all just as good. But right. Like Ghostland is like, it's almost like an Austin favorite. I think that they've played different shows here. Like they might have had a secret show, but they always have a line, dude. I mean,
and that makes sense because they're so good. They're kind of like a more electronic spoon. And that's, you know, an Austin band. So yeah, I can see why they'd be an Austin favorite. Because, yeah, for sure. So
yeah, for sure. I mean, no, I can see what where you're going with that. And I think that they're a little bit more rock than Spoon in some ways. But, like,
right.
They've taken rock and electronic music and just made it something that I've never heard. That's why they're so big.
Gotcha.
That's my opinion. I'm sticking to it.
Nah, it's all good. If I could compare them to anybody, it'd be like a more electronic tool. That's how I would consider them, because you definitely have the electronic side, but you hear the rock. And when the rock comes out, it's like slaps you in the fucking face. So for that aspect alone, like this particular song, I definitely have no issue with. That was off of a Robotic Majestic, right? Majestic?
That's right.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, that particular album, that particular song, or this particular song off of that, that shit is like, yeah, it hits you in the face. You definitely have to be ready for it. The vibe is definitely there for the electronic, but they have a growl to them that you cannot just output, right? It's not like you're talking about Swedish Mafia, Swedish House Mafia type situation. Like, this is definitely meant for those who have a more serious take on music. And, like, the bass is heavy, the rhythms are heavy, like, everything is in place. Like, if I could compare it to a movie, I could see this played in a Blade movie and him just slicing up motherfuckers left and right.
Oh, fuck
and,
yeah.
Yeah, you would fit right in, or a Matrix movie where it would just be like the bass heavy rhythms literally take you on a ride and then drop you off in the middle of fucking nowhere. That's how I feel when I listen to this shit, and I love it. So it's like, it pulls off the vibe, and the fact that you were able to see that live in a South by Southwest setting, that sets it off to a whole nother level, because now you can see how everything is formulated versus just hearing it played out on a record. So yeah, I totally give you props on this one, bro.
Thanks, man. Yeah, it was I picked it because it was a throwback to previous South by Southwest events that they played, where I couldn't get in, and then I finally got in. It was rough, man. Like, traffic, it's getting worse. Austin's getting more popular. I used to get certain perks with parking, don't get it anymore. But I actually got $10 parking, which was kind of good. Downtown Austin during South by, so that's kind of, I think that's a win right there. And then just the whole journey to the show, like, I parked, didn't know if I was going to make it. I kept texting, then I stopped getting texts back. I didn't know if they got in already, if I was screwed. I mean, I finally got there after, I don't know, a 10 minute walk, something like that. I asked people, like, did they let in yet? What's going on? And so they said, no. They haven't let in yet. You're good if you're trying to get in line. So I walked over. I'm like, okay, that is good, because I knew that they were at the front of the line of the non-official wristband badge, you know, thing. So, yeah, what a journey. I got to see Ghostland at South By, and I was fucking, it blew my mind. So, not bragging, but yeah.
Nice. All right, so we swung around, back around to round two, right?
Yep.
Okay, so this particular artist I caught by accident. It was 2004, well, the end of 2004, going to 2005. That's when I said it was 2005. So, I was literally going up and down 7th Street, and there was this, 5th Street, and it was this place called Red Fez. And during that time, Red Fez was, you know, known for having, you know, particularly cool nights, but Sunday nights were their hip hop night, so to speak. So I actually passed by it on a Saturday, and walking by it, I heard this band just ripping, just going fucking off. And so walking up and down, came back around, they were on the, I guess it had been like 10 minutes where it passed, where we were walking up and down trying to see what venues we could get into. And then coming back around, this venue was actually a free venue, which shocked the shit out of me. So we jumped off in there, and all I remember was this band just going fucking off. And you're seeing people doing the mosh pits and smacking each other back and forth. And Red Fez, if you know Red Fez, it's not a big venue by any means.
It's a hookah bar too, right?
Yeah. Essentially,
so people are smoking hookah.
It's a drink bar, but all in this situation, they were doing a showcase. Doing a showcase, this particular band came through. They're out of Atlanta. They started off in 2002, so 2005, they're going into, you know, a little bit more mature. But the name of the album, I had to go out and actually buy it, and I actually got a chance to get it on vinyl. And then the name of the album was Leviathan. And I thought that was the coldest shit ever. So then go to look up the actual band and see how they flow and what they're doing. And it was a 4-piece ensemble. And they just knocked the fucking socks off of that place. And I knew that they were going to get signed or make it big after the fact. They had a couple of hit songs, but for the most part, you know, they stayed kind of low key with it because they were from backwards Atlanta. They didn't want to be like the big time showstoppers, so to speak. They just wanted to play their music and get the fuck up out of there. And that's exactly what they did. And this particular, the last song that I heard them play before they finished their set was called Blood and Thunder. And that shit was like crazy. And the name of the group was Mastodon. So I was like, yeah, this is out of line, especially being a black dude running up in the spot. Everybody was kind of looking at me crazy. But once I started going out to the music, everybody didn't give a fuck. And we were all marching each other in the area around the stage. And it was just a complete, like, anarchist type situation. And I loved every minute of it. And for those who don't know me, I listen to everything. Some days you'll catch me rock. Some days you'll catch me country. Some days you'll catch me bluegrass. Other days you'll catch me rap. For the most part, I do love heavy metal. I do respect it as a genre, and I damn sure respect those that know how to rock out. And so we were pushing each other back and forth. Somebody tried to throw a punch, I ducked it, I threw an elbow and hit him in the chest, and this, I don't know. Everybody's going to the bar, and we're tossing beers back. And everybody's bloody as fuck, except for me. So I was like kind of shocked. How the fuck did you escape that? I escaped it by my instincts just kicked in, and I'm like avoiding all hits.
Almost to the chest.
Yeah, I got slapped in the back of the fucking head, but I was like, you know what? I'm gonna play that shit off. I didn't care. They just fucking rock. Yes, yeah. They fucking rock. So, for those who have a chance to check out Mastodon, especially Blood and Thunder off of that Leviathan album, go and check it out because that shit was pure adrenaline. It was not quite Remy and Ace of Spades, but it damn sure was hitting on the spot. Like, you knew that this was a complete metal band. They did not want to play any kind of fakery with it. They did not want to play any kind of funk with it. It was strictly just rock and rock out your fucking ears. And if we can blast your ears away, then we did our job. That's exactly how they came in. That's how they acted. And I love them forever for it because they gave me my first mosh pit to jump into. So,
yeah.
What do y'all think about Mastodon, Blood and Thunder?
You want to go first? All right. So if you're wanting to see Mastodon, they're on tour now. They're playing with Lamb of God July 20th at Germania in Austin or right outside of Austin. I will be there, I'm sure.
Let's be there together. How about that?
Let's go there. I have a buddy or two that would want to go with us. Let's make it happen, Dietrich. I want to be drinking some beers. I'll get a fucking Uber 20 miles out. I don't give a shit.
We'll do that.
Yeah. Let's get a helicopter. I'm just kidding. But I think, this would be a good one to go to. I've definitely done mosh pits before. I don't know if I would want to do this one. I was at Ozfest like the early 2000s, like 2005, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was Dallas, but I'm not sure. And it was hot as fuck. And Lamb of God, which is who they're going to be like playing with this summer tour. Just fucking had like a circle hurricane fucking mosh pit. I don't know what the fuck was going on. I'm glad I was far away and I could just see it from afar. It was a cool sight, but like, goddamn. And you better believe I'd be throwing motherfuckers if I was in some shit like that. So. Mm-hmm. I don't just fear for myself, but I fear for other people if I'm in a mosh pit.
We're much older, so we're not going to do that shit. We're going to be sitting in the back.
Yeah.
We're damn sure going to chug beers while we're at it because that shit was. Yeah.
Shit goes down, it goes down. Nobody's got my name, whatever. I'm good, hopefully. I definitely can appreciate metal, and I think that this was a good pick. This would be a fucking awesome show to go see at South by Southwest, and that's all I have to say. I think that this show would be probably more appreciated by fans of Mastodon. Also, be a little bit less aggressive because you have a sort of sophistication to no matter what kind of music it is at South by Southwest. If it's official, if it's outside of official, I don't know what you're getting into, but I mean, this is definitely, it's going to have a good appreciated like crowd. So
right.
Good pick.
Thank you. Tav, what do you think?
So I liked it. It's a good heavy metal song for sure. I listened to it, several times, and then, I'm not sure what, cause we had talked before about another heavy metal band where like they kind of have more meaning behind it. So my question for you is, do you like Moby Dick? Cause this song is straight up Moby Dick. Like, that's what this song is about. Like, it's about
the story of Moby Dick.
Exactly.
Yes.
But you can't tell because he's fucking screaming. So
exactly.
You got to actually look this shit up and fucking research it. It's a research paper.
Well, you can also kind of tell by the album cover, but yeah, like he's screaming white whale in there and you're like, okay. So it's like, yeah.
It could mean a reference to Moby Dick.
Right. I did read Moby Dick as a kid all the way through, which is an accomplishment on my behalf. Yes. So I'll throw the fingers up there. Do I like it? Yes. And the way in which he pitched it, right?
Right.
If there was anybody else who tried to make it folksy or any other kind of shit, I would have walked out the big.
Right.
But in this situation, he could have been screaming ABCs and everybody would have loved it.
Right. No, I gotcha. And so I did watch the music video for this as well, and that is pretty crazy, and that pretty much turns into a mosh pit. But what I was curious on, maybe you know, but like it seemed like they have a lot. They might have some type of relationship with Insane Clown Posse's.
Oh, see. That part, I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not even going to act like I do, but if they did, that would totally make sense.
Okay. Yeah.
That would totally make sense. ICP, yeah, part of the situation, that would totally make sense.
Bands like Korn and Sing, Clown Posse. I mean, there's a lot of like bands that tour together. And they do summer tours, and metal bands love summer tours. I don't know what it is, but I fucking love that too.
It's the titties. In the summertime, the titties are out.
I guess, yeah. It's metal titties. Metal brings tits, I guess. So
metal titties are some of the best titties. I'm going to tell you that right now.
We're not talking about cyborgs.
When I was ducking and dodging, trying to not to get hit, I was looking around and seeing flashing all over the place. So, yes, metal has some of the best titties around, period.
It's Mardi Gras all over again. They probably had, I don't know if a member was in another band, affiliated, you know, that kind of thing. But, like, if there was an affiliation that way, I would have to do the research on it. But I think that they probably definitely toured together.
Yes.
And they're not new bands. So,
no. Not by any means.
So, but okay. I just thought I'd ask it. The only thing I found when I looked was I think they did a song together, the two of them, which makes sense. So,
yeah, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, but okay. Well, cool. Yeah, no, I did enjoy it. And plus, like, you know, strange different things aligning in the world. It's like, because I was listening to something else talking about Moby Dick and how, like, it's the most rambling story ever, but, you know, it's still interesting. Like, he'll just go off on a weird tangent. And so, like, I thought it was interesting that there was a metal song about Moby Dick. And I was like, okay.
Yeah. It could just be like, oh, fuck you, fuck your mom. Moby Dick? Like, where did that come from? Shit, bitch.
Okay. So, yeah.
No, it's all good. That'll work. Appreciate y'all. Yeah. All right, Taj, what do you think, man? What's your second pick?
Oh, what's my second pick? Okay. So, I found this artist when I was doing my research. And this artist is actually a Texas artist. And he did an album. And the song I had heard, I liked off the album. And I almost did the album, did that song that's on there. But then I'm kind of playing around with the idea that I might do the album. I'm not sure. So the thing was that I went and looked and see if he had a new release. And they had a new release. And he had a new single. And this song, I heard it, instantly loved it. But then I was like, where the heck do I know this song from? It's actually a cover. But the song itself, it's one of those covers where, like, it redefines the song, right? So the artist I picked was Max Diaz, and the song is Chamber of Reflection. Okay. Now, he is a local Texas artist. He kind of goes dark. He likes to do like horror type stuff. So his album's like kind of like dark, heavy horror type music. And so that's kind of where he's going with this song. So do you happen to, Dietrich, know Chamber of Reflections?
I mean, I think we covered it at one point in time. Particular artist by the name of Mac DeMarco. Yes, right? It definitely rings a bell. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's that hook, that guitar hook that is wailing in the background. Like, he just brings it forefront and makes it heavy and dark, and like and it just kind of gives that whole song, like, DeMarco's version of it is real light, right? Real light and airy, and kind of like fog, right?
This aromatic, is
just, this is just straight darkness. Like, you are in a hall it mirrors staring at yourself, and there is no escaping yourself. And that's kind of what this is. Another kind of weird analogy for me to say that this is, it's kind of like the Final Fantasy V game where you're the Dark Knight and you go into the room and you have to fight yourself. And at the end of it, you come out a paladin. But, you know, this is, you walk into the room and you're fighting your reflection. And that's, I know that's like a weird analogy to bring up with that. But I just love this version of the song. And it was one of those, like, I liked it. And then the hook, I was like, I know it from somewhere. And so, yeah. So, but what did you guys think?
Yeah, it tripped me out because the intro sounds exactly the same with the drum beats coming in, and then all of a sudden that guitar lick hits, and it's like, oh shit, this is the same song, but it's on the dark side. Okay, so my song was all sunny rays and in summertime. This shit is all cloudy skies, thunder, lightning, and somebody just got hit by a fucking bus. Like.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
I loved it. I love the fact that you found that situation, and I love the fact that he took it, flipped it, made it his own, and was still kept the integrity of the song intact. So it was like, fuck yeah. Oh, so you got your stoners version, and then you got your rocked out depressed version, and the shit works. So yeah, I definitely like that vibe, and I'm glad that you were able to find that and put that in. And I'm mad that I missed him performing that at Sci-Fi, because that shit right there rocked the fuck out. So I'm definitely not happy that I missed that, but I'm glad that you were able to bring it to the forefront where we could go in and get a taste of it. That was cool.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel the same. I wish I had seen him play, but you know what? There's more years to come. I'm not leaving Austin just yet, so probably gonna buy my shit early this year. Yeah, I'm already planning on at least getting wristbands, just setting it up. I think there's a small window where you can get like a really good discount on it. But an artist like Max Diaz, he's probably going to be playing at a place that is in the middle of like 5-10 other showcases you want to see. Mm-hmm. But you can see him with a wristband for sure. I can tell you right now, you don't have to badge to see every artist, right? Like I said, I saw like some great shows where, I mean, I saw Tenacious D. I had a badge that year, but I had to get in line really fucking early, and I was, you know, able to see one of the best shows of the year. I think it was like 2012. So Doug Benson was hanging out with me in the crowd. I mean, it was kind of surreal. So pitched him a movie idea, and he said no. Chamber of Reflection. Yeah. No, I think that's so weird that it's a remake of, you know, a song that we heard from one of your picks, Dietrich, but I think it's also like cool that you found that, and actually so cool. It's so cool that you found that, Taj, because that's a rare find.
Right.
And such a good artist, man. Holy shit. Anyway, good job.
But, and so just another kind of thing to throw out there that's kind of a weird relationship between the two artists. Both music videos, don't ask me why, and I'm not sure if this is a new trend, but like the artists themselves are, you know, you can see their faces, but the musicians or the background people all have ski masks. So like in Chamber of Reflections, like the guitarist and the drummer have ski masks, and in Risk,
that's creepy, dude.
It, like the background people in it all have ski masks, but he has like them in like bright red and then yellow, and it's like weird. It's like I'm not sure what this new trend is of having other people in music videos with ski masks on.
Wow. I know that metal, like European progressive metal, like bands like Ghost and stuff like that, that I've seen live, I talked about it on the show. You know, that wear like sort of like a leather fucking like zipped up masks and shit. Like,
oh, gotcha.
Like, okay, is this some kind of like weird fetish with rock now? I don't know. Anyway. But yeah, ski mask is maybe like kind of like just like an ominous like look, like
right?
Sort of like to give you that tone of like seriousness, but like also to, you know, just be like edgy, I think. So
yeah,
you're not gonna see that in hardcore metal rock, but you'll see that in like stuff like progressive rock or like Tool does that shit. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. But this is just weird because you had the classic drummer in the background with no shirt, but he's wearing a ski mask. You're like, what the heck?
It's just to throw your ass off. It's just like to keep people's attention.
Right.
Exactly. You could easily drift during a show and be talking to your friends and drinking and whatever. But
right.
Live music, completely different than the fucking radio or, you know, a video. But
that's for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good pick.
Thank you.
Cool. Definitely agree. All right. Damon, hit us with your final choice there, bro.
Yeah. So South by Southwest is built on bands that you might have heard of. That's more recent. We were already kind of going over this a little bit. You mentioned Dietrich, like in the past, it was more about local bands. So this year, I think I don't think it was like bad, but one of the things that I was hearing is that a lot of it was bands that people have heard of, or it was like maybe some more local bands than more so in the past. So I don't know. South by Southwest is like trying to get back to the roots, which is cool. And also it can be hard to know who to go see, right? If you've never heard of a band, you have to kind of listen to them and check it out. One of the things that South by Southwest does, they have a list of all their bands. You can go through their website and you can hear music from every band that's playing, and it goes in alphabetical order. So you've got like, you know, maybe 1,000 bands to listen to. So if you are interested in hearing something you haven't heard of, yeah, you can do that. I picked a band called The Giant Dog. The song is called Sleep When Dead. And it's just like, you know, it's probably a lot like stuff I've heard at South by Southwest at random bar, random show, etc. But I thought they had a unique album cover. I thought they had a unique sound. It's kind of like it's like punk, so rock punk, that genre. But so my first pick was a band that I've heard of, obviously is a big band and had a unique situation for me this year. This band, I didn't get the pleasure of hearing them play, but they were out there when I was out and about. I just didn't get to their show. But Sleep When Dead by a Giant Dog. Yeah, I think it's definitely like a very cool rock intro, unique sound. And I think the band's, all their music's really good. I did check out their album. So what do you guys think? What do you think of this song?
Well, so I really liked the song. I'm going to give you, I mean, I liked it. I enjoyed it. What I'm surprised on is like, they're a bit cleaner, but they remind me of Heartless Bastards. And like, you know how much I love Heartless Bastards. And so I was like, I really like this, but I was like, and you're like, but you gave me shit for Heartless Bastards. Like, you like this. No, but yeah.
I think I like to give you shit just because you're Taj. Maybe that's probably
what it is.
But I don't, here's another thing. I don't give a shit unless I like you. So
gotcha.
Don't let it go to your head.
I gotcha. All right. This was right up my alleyway because, you know, that kind of grungy rock, you know, the song and the lyrics itself were like, yeah, it was right up my alleyway, and like, I'm here for it all day, 24/7. So
they played, I don't know, like how familiar you used to live here, Taj.
Right.
Dietrich, you're here, but I don't know how familiar you all are with like the local venues and all that. South by Southwest likes to play dirty dive bars. That's okay. Like kind of like half of what it is, and then the other half is like clean big venues and hotels and shit like that. Just a big fucking party, dude. That's why I'm alive, pretty much. So A Giant Dog, they played at Hotel Vegas, which is like, I think Hotel Vegas has a lot of like progressive rock, metal, you know, funk, whatever. Usually gotcha. It's pretty much like dirty metal. Dirty metal. Yeah, that's a good genre I just created. And Shangri-La, they played there as well. So those are the two venues they played at this year. Those are places I've frequented during South By. Did stop at Shangri-La. I think they had one of their I think it was like a showcase for one of the, it wasn't a British invasion thing, but Australia. I think it was, It might have been Australia House. I'm not positive, but I love that they do that though, by the way. But giant dog, giant fucking dog.
Right.
It makes you think of a lot of things, dude.
Yes. Yes, it does. Guys, you want to start off with this one?
Oh, I did. So, okay. Yeah.
What do you think?
I like it. Yeah. What do you think, Dietrich?
Jinx, you owe me a Pepsi, by the way.
Yeah, pretty much. Nah, I think that, this band definitely has the chops, to make it. I honestly think that this is a good ass pick. Going back and looking over the band, like, you can see that there's certain elements that they have that other bands don't. They do kind of separate themselves from the pack, so to speak. And the fact that, you know, they could actually, like, put forth one or two songs that could actually like chop out on the charts. It's like, it's just a matter of writing at this point in promotion. So they definitely are one to look out for. Definitely one to, I would say, be noticed in the crowd. Lead singer, what's her name? What was her name? Literally on the tip of my tongue, and I can't get it out. I know her last name was Ellis. First name, slipped out of my brain. What was it, Samantha Ellis, or what was her name?
Yeah, I think that was it. Or let me see here. So, I mean, I was looking here. So they actually have quite a few albums released already. Let's see. What was I saying?
Sabrina Ellis.
Sabrina Ellis. There we go.
Yeah.
Sabrina.
Yeah. She's crazy, dude. She's fucking crazy.
She is fucking phenomenal on that mic. She knows how to carry her voice. She's like a cross between, she has the stamina in order to belt out certain tones, but you know, she kind of reminds me of a Vince Neil in her, the way her voice projection and how it comes across. Cause you know, Vince with Poison wasn't there, or Bonnie Crew was Poison. He literally had that high pitched sound in his voice, but it carried across. She has that same type of octave that she, when she sings, it carries across. And it's like one of those where, all they need is like literally one like well-written song to where they could be literally all over the place. I know they already got touring in place. I know that they're doing a bunch of shows, but being household name of a giant dog versus being a underground type name is literally the difference between promotions and one or two songs I could take it over the top. Like easily when I think of them, I could think of a Fall Out Boy, so to speak.
I think, that's a good point, because Fall Out Boy and things like that, like they're huge, but they have a specific following and not everybody likes them. I think the same thing stands for a giant dog. A giant dog, I think for me, I don't think that this would be my favorite band. I think they would represent South by Southwest for the live shows, the dirty bars. You know, that's, for me, it's sort of like a nostalgia thing. And also, I think they're probably really, like, they sound good studio, but I think they'd be really good live and for this setting. So that's my take on that band.
So get this. I was just looking because so their first album was 2012, then second was 2013, then this one, the song was off of 2016. They did another album in 2017. And then here's what throws me off. 2019, they did a full album cover, like covered all the tracks of an album of Neon Bible by Arcade Fire.
So they're Arcade Fire fans, which I, you know what? I could totally see that. And you've got like a chick and a dude that sing in that band, and they have the same thing with the giant dog. So,
but that is weird. I've never known anybody to cover an entire album. I mean, cover a song, but to cover an entire album? I've never known.
I've known them to do it. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they do it their own style in the situation. So we would have to go back and listen to this to see if they actually carried on.
Arcade Fire
or not. Yeah, it is. settings out of there.
They must be influenced. Obviously, a lot of artists get influenced by other artists, like bigger artists, right?
Yeah.
There's always an influence. There is. I mean, this is how it is, you know?
Yes.
Yeah. And then they have a new album that came out in 2023. So just last year. So I mean, they're still doing
stuff. Hence the tour.
Yeah. Hence the tour. But yeah. So I just wanted to, that was a slight rabbit hole I saw. I was like, man, I'm intrigued. Like a whole cover of Neon Bible.
Well, I've heard of them before. And I know that, like, you know, having a woman like vocalist is definitely like, I think she's a lesbian. She has kind of like that vibe of like L7 almost, like that 90s kind of like women power empowerment, like really strong band sound. And so you have that backed by all dudes. It's just a crazy band. And I think that like some of the other bands that I've talked about on the show were a woman vocalist and all backed by guys. Something about that just brings more power to the vocalist, to the singer.
Yeah. Just like, you know, Paramore. I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Paramore. That's exactly the vibe that you
Wolf Alice. You know, I talked about them. You know? Yeah.
No but doubt.
Paramore is definitely good. That's a good parallel.
Yes. In that situation, it definitely works out. Like she definitely holds her own, and she lets it be known that she is the singer, and her voice literally carries across the track. It's just a matter of what particular song or vibe that you're listening to. So I'm glad that you brought it to the forefront. I'm glad that you brought the band up to the forefront. I'm glad that they're on this playlist, and hopefully we can hear a lot more from them. Maybe we might cover an album sometime.
Right.
That would be a cool situation. So I'd be happy for it. Even if we did the one where they covered Arcade Fire's album, like that shit would be cool.
We should just do a mention for that album now. Now that you've talked about it, Taj, that is, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
But if it sucks, then I'll be pissed.
Exactly. totally like let down in that type of situation.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, cool. So we didn't have any homework, did we?
No, not really. We are working on some stuff. I know we announced homework the previous week.
Fuck homework, dude. We're coming out of my summer vacation. This is our break. I know that, you know, a lot of people like to take off for the summer. And for the first time, Choice Tracks is doing the same thing.
Right.
You guys ready for that?
Hell no.
Yeah. And, but we'll release something next week for you guys, just to let you know, give you a timetable of when we'll be back at exactly, and letting you know when to expect this and what's going on. But, you know, we'll throw some stuff here and there. But yeah. You know,
So we hope to have plenty of adventures this summer. I hope to see a lot of vans. Hope you guys do too. I want to talk about it, and so that's that.
All right, so we're ready to wrap this up then.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, this has been Choice Tracks. You can find us on choicetracks at gmail.com or at choicetracks.com. Both of those end with a Z. We have matching playlists both on Spotify and Pandora, and we ask that you please subscribe and listen to all past and future episodes. Let's go ahead and sign out. I've been Taj.
I'm Damon.
And I've got my wristbands. Fuck what you're talking about. Set myself as rule. I'm Dietrich, and we've been Choice Tracks. We're going to pick up the needle, but y'all keep spinning those. Yeah, I already said it before. You know what it is. Choice Tracks in the building. South by Southwest, Austin, Texas, fucking rock. Y'all have a good one, y'all. Peace out.